Perek Dalad, Mishnah Yud. K'ma'aseu b'chol, just like they would do the performance of the Nisach HaMayim during the weekday, the libations of the water, kach ma'aseu b'Shabbos, they would do the same process on Shabbos. Ella, with the exception, she'yamamale, they would fill up a flask of water, may Erev Shabbos, from Erev Shabbos, not on the actual day, but they would do it prior to Shabbos, because on Shabbos it's prohibited to draw water and bring it from a Rosh Hashanah in a public domain into the Beis HaMikdash, into a private domain. So they would make sure they would set it aside in a flask in the Beis HaMikdash before Shabbos, so they wouldn't have to carry it on Shabbos. Okay, so that was the exception. Chavish al Zohar, there was a golden barrel, She'enu Mekudeshes, that was not sanctified as a vessel of the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason why it wasn't sanctified for the service of the Mizbeach, for the Beis HaMikdash, was because that if it was sanctified and it was Kadosh, it was holy, then the water that was sitting in it overnight from Erev Shabbos would become invalid from the rule of Lina. Lina means you cannot have something stay overnight, like a liquid, in the Beis HaMikdash, otherwise it becomes invalid. Now, if the water was lying in a vessel that was sanctified in the Beis HaMikdash, a clay sharis, Beis HaMikdash, utensil, so then it's invalid. But if it wasn't sanctified as a vessel for the Beis HaMikdash, then it's not invalid. So what they would do was, they'd use a flask, a barrel that was not sanctified by the Beis HaMikdash. So it's not a clay sharis. It's not a utensil of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, even if it sits overnight, it wouldn't make it invalid because of this concept of lina. Lina comes from the word to be lun, to sleep overnight. So that's why they would make sure it was not sanctified, so that even though it's staying overnight from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos, it'll be totally fine. Okay, where would they fill up the water from? Min HaShiluach, from the same spring, the well in Yerushalayim, the Shiluach. We said earlier, from the Shiluach. Okay, Manicha Balishka, they would place it in the Lishka, in the chamber. And then the next day, the Kohen would take this flask and he would fill up from it for the nisach, the libations of the water. Nishbucha, what happens if it spilled? Oh, niskalsa, or if it was revealed, meaning it was uncovered. So then hayim mamali min akiyar. So he's got to get new waters, right? So if it spilled, it spilled. If it was uncovered, there's a special rule that it's got to be covered. And if it was uncovered overnight, we'll see why in a second, it becomes invalid. So whether it spilled, or whether the covering came off of it, and then it became invalid, so he'll need new water. What would he do? He's already in the Beis HaMikdash now. He's not going to go outside. So he'd fill up the water from the kiyar. The kiyar was the basin in the Beis HaMikdash. We had learned in Masechta Yuma, Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud, that there was this muchni, there was like this wooden wheel that this person Ben Katin had made, that would take the basin and lower it into the pit of water in the Beis HaMikdash every night to attach to the waters in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, you have to understand now that if the water spilled out of this flask, he had a flask, a chavis, a barrel, it wasn't sanctified. So we weren't concerned about Lina, about it becoming invalid from just holding the water overnight. But we have a new concern now. Once it's spilled and you have to get new water, you get it from the kiyar. The kiyar is a utensil of the Beis HaMikdash. So now we're going to be concerned about water staying overnight. So the rule is that the water is just staying overnight, on your table in the Beis HaMikdash, in a kli sharis, in a utensil sanctified for the Beis HaMikdash, it's invalid because of lina. But from the kiyar, it's not invalid because the kiyar, they had this wheel mechanism that would transport the entire basin off of the ground and into a pit of water every night. And as long as it's sitting in the source, in the pit of water, it won't become invalid because of lina. We had learned about this in Masechta Yuma, now it comes up again. So they would take water from this kiyar, from the basin, there's no problem of lina because they would always put the kiyar back into the ground every night so that even though the night is passing, there's no problem of lina because it's sitting in the source. Shayayin v'amayim, because wine and water, hamgulin, that are revealed overnight, psulim l'gabi mizbeach, are invalid for the mizbeach, right? Since that, the rule is that wine or water that is revealed overnight, with the Mishnah in Truma says that they're prohibited for a person to eat it,
from a concern that a snake came and drank from it, and in its place, you know, either deposited some kind of poison or just made it meus, made it disgusting, and therefore man wouldn't drink it. And if man doesn't drink it, then his bech can't use it either, right? So if the water became, you know, if it's spilled, it's spilled, but if it became uncovered, even though it is the way it is, and it was sitting in a flat, in a barrel that was not designated for the base of Mikdash. So you'd say, what could be the problem? There's no problem of Lina. It didn't spill. What's the problem? The problem is that since it was left overnight uncovered, man would not drink from it, because the snake would come and do something to it. It'd poison it, it'd make it disgusting. Once man can't drink it, it's not fit for the Mizbeach. So then they would depend upon the kiyar, the basin, and take water from there. And of course, there's no problem of Lina with the basin, because it was always placed into the pit overnight in its original source of water, so there wouldn't be a problem of Lina. Because the kiyar, again, is a sanctified kli, a sanctified utensil, and we have to make sure there's a problem of Lina. So we learn a number of things in this Mishnah. The idea is that they would, you know, really mimic what they would do during the week on Shabbos for the Nisach HaMayim, for the libations of the water, with the exception of filling up the water on the Erev Shabbos, so that they don't carry from a public domain into the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. And then if it spilled, or if it became uncovered and it wasn't available, they would get new waters from the kiyar, from the basin, to perform the Nisach HaMayim on Shabbos. And that wraps up Mishnah Yud, and that concludes Perek Dalet. Okay. Moving right along to the new parak, parak Hey Mishnah Aleph. Hachalil Chamisha Vishisha. The flute is for 5 days or 6 days. So we mentioned in the previous parak, parak Dalet, the first Mishnah, that the chalil, the flute, sometimes is played for 5 days, sometimes is played for 6 days. So what does this mean? Zeh Hachalil Shal Beis HaShoeva. This is the flute that they would play by the Beis HaShoeva, by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the big, big party they would throw. That, right, there's a place, Hainu Makom, there's a place where the water would be drawn, Shia Osim, they made in the base of Mikdash, a Simcha, a special party on the Chag, on Sukkot, and they would play the flute and other musical instruments as well. The regal sheiva samayim nisuchim, in honor of the drawing of the water and the libations of the wine as well. You know, some kind of, you know, mystical process that they would do, and it became a tremendous, tremendous, joyous occasion. And the Mishnah mentions a chalila flute, you know, because the flutes, the sound of the flute is very distinct, that it can be heard over the other musical instruments. So the whole day is called over the, you know, we call the Mishnah the chalil, but really it's all the musical instruments. And the rule is like this. If Yom Tov Harishon, the first day of Yom Tov, fell out on Shabbos, comes out, you have six nimsu shishi, you may call the chag, the 6 weekdays of the chag are during the week. So in the chalil, the flute was blown 6 times, right? 6 days. But if the first day did not fall out on Shabbos, right, the echad bimei chol hamoed, in one of the chol hamoed days, that's what falls out on Shabbos. So then, lohaya the chalil was only, the flu was only blown for 5 days, not 6 days. She'ena docha lo asu Shabbos lo asu Yom Tov, because it doesn't push off Shabbos, it doesn't push off Yom Tov, right? So if the first day didn't fall out on Shabbos, and it was like a chol hamoed that fell out on Shabbos, you'll only be left with 5 days of blowing the flute. V'yafagav, and even though that the chalil is not prohibited on Shabbos only because of a rabbinic enactment, there was a gzera, lest one come to, if you know, to fix his musical instruments if they break. So it's not really even a Torah prohibition. It's, we're concerned you might fix a musical instrument if it breaks on Shabbos, that'll lead to a Torah prohibition. And the rule is, if it's only a rabbinic prohibition holding you back from using a musical instrument, the rule is in the base of Mikdash, there's no such thing as a shvus. There's no such thing as a rabbinic enactment in the base of Mikdash. So why couldn't they blow the flute in the base of Mikdash, you know, on Shabbos? So the reason is because even though we don't institute rabbinic enactments in the base of Mikdash, here it's not like a essential mitzvah, it's like a bonus of the mitzvah. It's there to just add joy, to add simcha. And therefore, even a rabbinic enactment we will honor, and we won't play the flute on Sukkot in the base of Mikdash. Amruth has said, call me Shalara Simcha's Beis HaShoeva, a person who had never seen this Simcha, the Beis HaShoeva of the drawing of the water. Lara Simcha Miyamav, he's never seen Simcha, he's never seen joy in his life. And the Gemara says, they bring down a pasuk, Kusha'afta Mayim B'Sason, that when you draw the water, it's got to be with joy, with Sason, with joy. And the Yishalam explains that Shemisham Shoavim Ruach HaKodesh, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Divine Spirit would be drawn out, that the Shekhinah would be, the Shekhinah rests, you know, the Divine Glory rests amongst joy, amongst Simcha, right? That's why David HaMelech would get, you know, the special Ruach HaKodesh, the divine spirit, when he would play the harp. It brought him to Simcha. So this is, you know, more of a mystical pshat. But if you look in the Gemara and Sukkah, it expounds at length over there all the wondrous things they would do in the base of Mikdash on Sukkah during these Simchas base of Shuevas. And there was a party like you've never seen before. So much so that if you haven't seen it, you've never really seen true Simcha. So that's how the Mishnah concludes over here, discussing how great this party of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was. And God willing, speedily in our days, we should have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt to see what the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was all about. And that wraps up the first Mishnah over here in Parakeh, Mishnah Aleph. One thing I would like to add, that may not have been clear, is that regarding this Chalil, this flute, it was never going to push off Shabbos, whether the first day fell on Shabbos or the last days fell on Shabbos and middle days fell on Shabbos. It never pushes off Shabbos. The idea is that the first day of Sukkot, anyway, there's no Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So therefore, it's, you know, if the first day of Sukkot fell on Shabbos, when you don't have the Simchas Beis HaShoeva anyway, so then the following 6 days would be when you have 6 days of blowing the flute. Whereas if one of the middle days fell out on Shabbos, so then you're going to have 5. Why? Because the first day you don't do it anyway. And the middle day, when you would have had it, you lost out because it fell out on Shabbos. And that's what would make it 5. So just to be clear, the first day it's never there. And that's why you'll have 6 when the first day falls out on Shabbos because you don't have it anyway. Or 5 if the first day didn't fall out on Shabbos, so then you missed 2 days. One is the actual first day that you don't do it. And then one is the middle day that fell out on Shabbos that you missed out because it's Shabbos. So you left with 5 days. Just wanted to clarify that, and that concludes the Mishnah.